Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive!
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.
That's what it's called, Sustaining Alive. It's sustaining and alive mixed into one word, Sustaining Alive. Not to be confused with Sustain Alive. Sustaining Alive. Fuck yeah. Hey, Rita.
Good evening.
Hi.
Rita's here.
That was quite the introduction.
I just had to get it right. I feel like there's some confusion out there.
You think there's some confusion?
I think so. But look, I just cleared it up, so nobody panic.
It's all fine now.
That's right.
We'll be fine.
Where are you right now?
I am in West Auckland, so I'm sorry I couldn't make it into the studio today.
Okay, that's fine. Bit of 1080 dropping from the sky, is it, or what?
Today we're going to talk about the tracks of Auckland. That's starting to heat up a little bit, and people are starting to get out and about a little bit more. And this year there are significant closures in the tracks track network of Auckland, so I thought I'd talk about why that's happening and maybe give some alternatives as to where you can go for your summer walk.
Go to the beach.
Go. I know. Who walks in the bush, really?
Well, if I live in the bush and the quickest route is through the bush to the beach, what then?
Oh, exactly. You need to get a helicopter out of there.
The
reason that a lot of this is happening, I'm sure most listeners know or have at least heard of Cody Dyback, which is what is the evil villain that has closed the tracks. And I've been practicing this all day. It is officially called Phytophthora agathiae. Oh, no, I messed it up.
What?
Okay,
what?
We'll try again. The scientific name of Cody Dyback is Phytophthora.
Phytophthora.
Phyto.
Okay.
And then Phytophthora. Agathocida.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that was a mouthful, and totally all that practice just went to waste. And it has been around for some time. So it was discovered in 2009 officially and named in 2015. But it was noticed in Great Barrier Island in the 70s, and there's even recordings of it in the 1950s. So it has been here for some time, and it is likely to have originated from the Indo-Pacific. But it is the same family that caused the disease, that is responsible for the Great Potato Famine in Ireland in the 1845.
Wow.
For those of you that were alive back then. Yeah, so it's the same disease. It's actually a massive problem, this family, Phytophthora. I think it actually means like death or something in Latin. And it's a massive problem in the agriculture industry. I know the avocado industry have had problems with it as well. So it's not a stranger to most, horticulturalists, but it is slightly more unusual to be seen in the wild, like we're seeing.
We're kind of dealing with it in an interesting way as well. I've seen similar situations occur in Australia, and they kind of dealt with it in a sort of they just sort of do a big burn off and start again. But you kind of can't really afford to do that with something that grows so slow, can you? Really, I guess.
Yeah, and the Australian ecosystem is designed for the occasional burn off, and in fact, their seeds. There are many seeds of native Australian plants that won't grow until they have experienced like high temperatures.
It's crazy,
like
isn't it? That just blows my mind, that fact.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how the whole world has kind of each little place has evolved perfectly for the conditions, you know, over thousands and thousands of years. And because New Zealand was completely untouched by mammals there was hardly any diseases brought here, anything like that. So as a result, a lot of our native and endemic species don't really have any exposure to these things, and so they haven't built any immunity or anything. So it's a bit of a shame. I can't remember his name, but one of the very first conservationists that was ever kind of recording, traveling around the world and recording conservation status, said that he believes New Zealand was one of the four places in the world that shouldn't have human population.
Mm. Okay. Hey, now, just going back to the point about mammals, now, someone had told me that possums might be playing a part in the spread of the Cody Dyback.
Poor little buggers, they get blamed for everything, don't don't they?
Yeah. Who brought them in is what I want to know. Who's like that mate at the party? Eh? Who brought that guy? They did. They do spread it. But they don't have huge home ranges.
But they're everywhere, though. They're in my back garden.
They're also chain smokers as well. That's what I don't like about possums. They just keep smoking durries. It's gross. I hate it.
So they do spread it, but they don't go very fast, so it's not as bad. I suppose what I'm trying to say is that the reasons that we've closed the tracks to the humans is because at this point we know that the worst spreading is around the tracks. That we have. There's so many more, they have a million plus tourists going through these tracks every year.
Those cleaning stations, they don't really work that well. You've got to spick and span your boots pretty much, don't you?
Yeah. So this
get right
is
in the nooks
problem.
And the crannies.
Even if you do that, the problem is it's a water mold and it stays dormant for resting spores.
You can rehydrate it, kind of thing.
Yeah, they can stay dormant in your boots in a pin drop of soil for 8 years plus. So they're still counting how long. Yeah. And so what can happen is you can clean your boots. You can go, and what I would recommend, plus, they're still counting. They're going, okay, we've studied it for 8 years. It's still bloody alive. This thing could last forever for all we know.
What a trick.
Yeah. And so we can have them on your boots. You can do your best job. And I still recommend it is worth, before going to any bush, it is worth cleaning your boots really well and all your equipment you're taking, because it's just good hygiene, really, more than, there could be other diseases we don't know about. So clean your boots really well. Then you go to the spray stations. And again, still highly recommend you use them. But you could walk along the spray stations and then, say, 50 metres in, come across, you wouldn't know, but come across one of these spores, step on it, and then keep walking. And then you're just tracking that spore into an area that hasn't been affected, hasn't been infected. So just by having clean boots when you go in, you can't guarantee that your boots are going to stay clean throughout that walk. And that's why it's really important that we upgrade all the tracks. They've closed them and they've increased our rates so that they're putting money aside to upgrade the tracks, and they're going to do boardwalks and metal, because if we're not walking on soil, then we can't spread it. So that's kind of the trick there.
Mm. Now, in the meantime, what do I do if I want to go for a bushwalk, but I can't get in the bush?
Should we set up a few of those green scooters out there maybe and just leave them out there at the station?
Yeah, if you do go somewhere that does have a cleaning station, even though, having clean boots when you go in doesn't ensure that you're not spreading it, it is still worth using one of those stations. The second thing you can do is make sure you check the tracks that are closed. So there's two different types of closures. The council, alongside biosecurity, have got controlled area notices, and these are the tracks that are officially closed by the council and the central government. Now, they don't include all of the tracks. There is then Arahui, which has been put on by the local iwi, supported by many, many conservation groups. And this is a much wider closure. And these are the tracks that they are kind of disagreeing on. But basically, they've taken a precautionary approach and said, okay, if there's kauri on this track, let's close it until we can figure out how to protect that kauri. And that's a precautionary measure is always the best way to go. So my biggest piece of advice this summer is support the Rahui. There are many, many cool tracks, and I swore that I wouldn't spread this particular track because it was my it is my favourite one.
Don't be like that.
I know. But it is worth sharing now that, there's only a few tracks to go to. But if you haven't done the Mercer Bay Loop, I highly recommend that one.
I like the idea of a loop. Does it come back to where you were?
It does.
That's good.
Yeah, and it's pretty stunning. It's a coastal walk. There's no kauri along there, so it's nice and safe, and it's just absolutely stunning. So,
what if I want to look at kauri, though? What if that's what I'm all about in my walks?
There are some tracks that have got boardwalks and concreted areas so that you can check them out. Pipeline Road, the pipeline track is great. The Karikari Falls are great, and you can definitely see some kauri along there. They're kind of in the distance, but they're beautiful stands that you can see from there. But what I will do is I will post onto your Facebook page.
95B from Drive with Johnny and Big Hungry, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's the one. I will post a link of all the sites that are closed and all the sites that are open. And check that out before you hit them this week, this summer.
Right. Sounds good, Rita. Thank you very much. And let's just hope, like, what worst case scenario when we get and we kill all the Cody? Then do we go to a museum and do we have like little seedlings and look at them kind of thing?
No. Well, unfortunately, what's happened
maybe a tree zoo. What about a tree zoo?
Because we cut down 99% of the Cody, we've only got like 0.1% left. Mm. So the genetic diversity isn't very big, which is why we can't really find a resistant Cody yet. And also the seeds don't last long. The seed pods, which is why they can't even seed bank them.
It's pretty dire.
And they actually, Cody actually... sort of condition the soil. They're a keystone species, which means they condition the soil for all the other trees in the forest.
Wow.
So if they go, it's not a good thing for the rest of the trees. So it is really important. And if you've got a Cody on your property, there's actually some Cody Rescue, which I'll also put on the Facebook page, have phosphite injections that you can inject your tree with, and it protects it. And if it does have Cody dieback, it means it will have a longer life. So there is some stuff you can do if you do have Cody on your property too.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Rita. Always a pleasure.
No worries. Nice to chat to you guys again.
We'll speak to you next week.
Next week? Bye. Sounds good.
See ya.
See ya.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.